Your morning look at the world of agriculture starts now. Here's Farm Director Travis Cleveland.
So I spoke with Charles Kraus, who's a dairy farmer in Minnesota, and he's been a part of the Dairy Checkoff for 25 years. Plus, he's on the DMI board. And I wanted him to explain specifically what does the checkoff do and how does it work?
So Dairy Checkoff is a federal program where all farmers pay into it, 15 cents per every 100 pounds of milk we sell. And we use that money for research on product. We use that for building consumer trust. We use that to develop export markets and to develop a sustainable story and a sustainable look into the future. The money that we collect is overseen by farmer-led boards and farmers from all across the country.
Kraus said that one of the big things that they do is look at different trends.
We spend a lot of time looking to what consumer trends are and how we can reach the consumers where they want to be. We talk a lot about how dairy farmers are sustainable and how we produce the most perfect product there is with the milk we get from our cows. We're trying to put dairy where the consumers are, where they want it, and how they want it. So trying to find new ways of grab-and-go meals, quick snack meals, and make things convenient for the consumer to have. And so it's an ever-evolving way to reach them, and then yet still have milk be a staple to their daily life and something they can find comforting.
Since he's been a part of the checkoff for 25 years, I wanted to know how it's kind of changed. Has he seen more people consuming dairy since he started with the checkoff?
The federal checkoff started in 1983, and at that point we were, I don't know exact poundage, but we were probably over 120 pounds per capita less than we are now. So we've seen a consistent increase in the consumer consumption per capita. We're at 680 pounds, something like that right now. We're at an all-time high for cheese. We're at an all-time high for butter right now.
He said one of the things that really helps American dairy farmers get dairy out to more people is the U.S. Dairy Export Council.
We started the U.S. Dairy Export Council with checkoff money about 25 years ago when we were only exporting less than 2% of our dairy products in the international market. And now today we're up to 17% of our exports, our product is going overseas. And why is that so important? 96% of the population in the entire world is outside of the U.S. borders. And so we need to tap into that population base to sell our product.
Kraus talked about one of the main goals that the U.S. Dairy Export Council has.
And our goal is to be increasing that every year, and probably in 10 years from now, we're hoping to be 25 to 30% of our dairy products be exported. And what we're doing to do that is developing relationships and sites in Pacific Rim countries and Japan. We're also looking at the Middle East, Northern Africa. And you don't just say we have a product to sell. You need to start forming relationships with those things. And that's what we're doing with the U.S. Dairy Export Council, hiring people to be boots on the ground, talking, developing these relationships with people that can buy our product and moving that. And so it's really important to think that of the 225 billion pounds of milk the dairy farmers are producing, we're exporting almost 2 out of every 7 days right now to a foreign market. And that's very important for us to keep our product moving.
With more on what's happening on the ag scene, here's Farm Director Travis Cleveland.
Talking with Charles Kraus, who's a dairy farmer in Minnesota, and he's been a part of the Dairy Checkoff for 25 years. He's actually also a part of the DMI board. One thing that he was talking about is how the checkoff program is always trying to get U.S. dairy out in the world more than it is. And he said one way that they do that is by partnering with fast food chains.
We found it's much more efficient, instead of putting a TV ad on, we found it's more efficient to partner with companies like McDonald's or Domino's or Pizza Hut or KFC and help them develop a dairy-friendly menu.
He said domestically and internationally, they partner with these fast food chains, or at least with some of them. One of them specifically being Pizza Hut.
We have both domestic and international partnerships, and they're not necessarily the same. One of the partnerships we have, we've sunsetted domestically is Pizza Hut, but we are on an international market. We are have a partnership with them. And one of the things they have in Japan right now is the New York pizza, they call, and it's a kilo of cheese on a pizza. It's 2.2 pounds of cheese on one pizza in Japan. And then the big target out there is China with 1.2 billion people. And so if we can get the average person in China to consume 1 pound more dairy that we import there, it's a huge win for us. So we have both international and domestic partnerships.
He was talking about how that's why if you look at some of these fast food menus, there is cheese on a significant amount of that food, and that's because of this whole program. It's all strategically placed. They want more people to be consuming dairy. And I did find it interesting. I mean, he brought up a good point when he said if we could just get people in China to have a little bit of U.S. dairy every year, just a little bit, I think he said 1 pound, that would be such a big impact on U.S. dairy.
If you look at a menu, the menu board at, say, Taco Bell or McDonald's, you wonder why there's a piece of cheese on a chicken sandwich or why everything's a cheeseburger now. It's a lot of the research and the help that we've given companies like McDonald's or Yum Brand Foods to show that by adding dairy to your diet, it's a better taste profile. The consumer likes it better, and it's actually a healthy thing for the consumer. So by helping to partially fund some of their efforts on the development side, and then they use their money to do the advertising side. So working with partners is a much more efficient way that we found to use the farmers' money to multiply that money into an advertising effect.
Another partner that they have is Coca-Cola.
One of the highlights we had, like in fluid milk, was partnering with Fairlife, which was partially owned by Coca-Cola when we started, and to develop a value-added, nutrient-dense, actual fluid beverage. And now Coca-Cola has completely taken that forward. And to think back 10 years ago that we would say Coca-Cola is selling milk, no one would have believed it. But that's one of the partnerships that turned out to be a win-win for both them, having a nutrient-dense, good product to talk about instead of pop, and then the farmers to be able to sell milk that way.
Krause also gave some insight into how they're targeting Gen Z.
One of the things we're concerting a lot of our effort on is millennials and then Gen Z. And how we reach Gen Z and what are the different ways. One of the things we see Gen Zers do is a lot of gaming. And so we're using some of the partnerships with some of the well-known gamers out there to try to send our message out through gaming, which a normal old farmer like me seems bizarre, but when we see the trends that almost 90% of all Gen Zers do some gaming, that's one of the ways we're reaching them. Instead of putting a TV commercial out, we're having someone that hundreds and thousands and millions of people follow and have him tell our message for us.
I'm your farm director, Travis Cleven, and that's an update for you.